There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We can now cross, though, to our Europe correspondent in London, Ollie Barrett. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good to be with you.
Good, good. Well, Ollie, I can imagine your day has been consumed, or the past 48 hours have been consumed with all things royal, and we will get to that. But first of all, if we can kick off with the Irish political crisis. We know the Deputy Prime Minister, Francis Fitzgerald, has tendered a resignation to the Taoiseach. It's been accepted, but what kind of mess are they in Ireland?
Yeah, it's been a very difficult few days in Ireland, and in a sense, the resignation of the Deputy Prime Minister Francis Fitzgerald may have stemmed the bleeding, for now at least, in terms of the immediate crisis for Irish politics. But her resignation has been accepted by Leo Varadkar, the Irish Prime Minister. This was all over a scandal related to a police whistleblower in the country. She'd been under a lot of pressure. She'd been criticised from many quarters about the perceived lack of action over a police whistleblower who she had actually publicly defended when she was Irish Justice Minister. But it was also revealed last week that she had been informed about an attempt to discredit this this whistleblower a year earlier than she'd previously admitted. She said that she'd forgotten receiving emails with that information in it and said she was precluded from acting on legal advice. But then there were more emails published on Monday which suggested she had been aware all along. So not to get too down into the weeds of that particular situation, it does mean that she's resigned, and she says she's doing so for the sake of the country. She says she's partly doing that, of course, to avoid what would have been and what was coming down the tracks pretty quickly, the snap general election. In Ireland, there is a coalition government in place, which we didn't realize was quite this fragile, but appears now to be increasingly so, despite the resignation of Francis Fitzgerald. And had there been a snap Irish election, that would have been very complicated indeed with regards to Brexit. Because, of course, we have this crucial Brexit summit coming up at the European Union in December, at which the EU is going to decide among the member states whether Britain can move on to the next stage of negotiations, talking about trade discussions and the future relations between Britain and the EU. Well, the EU's always said that there are three key issues that need to be settled before that can happen, and one of those, of course, is the Irish issue, the issue of that hard border or not, as the case may be, between Northern Ireland and Ireland once Brexit takes place. That has very much not been sorted out, and Ireland has been taking a pretty strong stance on that issue in the last week or so ahead of that coming EU summit. So if there, as I say, had been a snap election coming in Ireland, that would have made that situation very complicated indeed. There's been all sorts of talk here in the UK about whether it's good or bad for Britain, this Irish political crisis in the context of Brexit talks, and those conversations continue now, whether it's good or bad for Britain's and its Brexit negotiations chances, the fact that there is now not going to be a snap general election in Ireland. But difficult times for the Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar. He has certainly had his reputation tarnished in the last couple of days, in terms of the standing he holds, the authority he holds, the authority he wields at the top of government in Ireland. But for now, no general election.
Okay, so moving over to Germany now, Ollie, where a mayor in the west of the country has sadly been the subject of a knife attack. Tell us why this attack took place.
Well, it is suspected, not confirmed, but suspected, that there might be a link to what he has had in place, which has been a pretty liberal immigration policy and some pretty liberal immigration views, according to some of his constituents. This is Andreas Holstein. He is the mayor of Altena. He is a conservative. He was in a kebab shop when he was stabbed in the neck. He had to be hospitalized and treated there. His town, which is in the North Rhine-Westphalia region, is very prominent in Germany, very famous in the country for having taken in more migrants, more immigrants, refugees, than it had to do according to its quota in the country. The NRW Premier, Armin Laschet, has been talking and says that the security authorities in North Rhine-Westphalia believe that there was a political motive here. So we also have reports from some witnesses who've been quoted in German media saying that the suspect, who is now in custody, by the way, shouted some kind of criticism of the asylum policy that the mayor has had in place during this attack. Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, has been very critical of the incident, saying she's outraged by the attack on Andreas Holstein. She says she's very relieved that he's back with his family, and has thanked those people who helped him as the incident unfolded. Of course, Angela Merkel was criticized by some quarters in Germany for her open door asylum policy during the 2015-16 refugee crisis, migrant crisis in Europe, and this mayor, Andreas Holstein, had similar views, held a similar position, had similar policies in place, actually went further than he was required to do so, and it appears that he was attacked as a result.
And just finally, Ollie, yesterday we saw Prince Harry and Meghan Markle emerge from Kensington Palace with that anticipated, I guess, engagement announcement. And I guess everybody, all eyes, not just the UK media, the rest of the world, eyes looking upon them for more detail on that royal wedding.
Yeah, and we think we will get some more detail later today. Of course, at the moment, all we've really been told is that they will get married in the spring of 2018, which here in the UK would probably be March, April, maybe May. There is some suggestion that with a royal baby on the way from Prince William and the Duchess of Cambridge, that it might be May that's perhaps more likely, but we don't know where they're getting married either. We may get some of that detail later today. It could be a big affair at Westminster Abbey here in London. St. George's Chapel at Windsor is being highly touted as a possible location. Some other sources have suggested that Prince Harry would quite like to have a small private wedding if he can possibly get away with it, but that might not could be extended to him as a possibility. And yes, you're right, the eyes of the world have been on the UK over the last day or so as a result of this engagement. That's partly because of a continuing fascination in some quarters with the British royal family. Mm-hmm. It's also, of course, because Meghan Markle is an American actress. She brings something slightly different to the British royal family than we've seen before. She describes herself as biracial, and that is also new to the UK royal family in terms of the ethnic makeup of people that marry into the family. Prince Harry has spoken himself already during the early days of their relationship about his concern about some of the media coverage as a result of the ethnic background of the woman we now know he's going to marry. So he will have his eyes on that, but generally the news has been welcomed by many people here in the UK. The polling continues to suggest the royal family is very popular, but not only that, that they're constitutional role is currently viewed favourably by the majority of the British public, people are looking forward to a wedding and a wedding with the extra glitz and glamour that comes with an American actress being involved.
Well, Ollie Barrett, our Europe correspondent, I'm sure that we will touch on this topic many, many times over the upcoming months before the big wedding next year, but for now, that's all the time we have. Thanks you so much for joining us this week here on Drive Live.
Thanks, guys.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.